pro wrestling at its best is violent, horny improv. This is one of, without a doubt, the gayest things I've ever watched.
Is my life. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. All of these people are accused of assholedom. Every last one of them. This week's esteemed victim is
Sage, she, they, fae.
Huzzah! Oh my god, I think you're our first fae. Congratulations, welcome.
Oh heck yeah, neopronouns represent.
We've had neopronouns before, but I think the first fae, I'm hiding all the iron. I don't know how this works, but I'm just trying to be respectful.
Great, I appreciate it. Yeah, as long as you know, the mic that I have is made out of non-iron metals, so it's fine. Yes, like I'm ready to go.
No, I love the phase work. So thank you so much for being here, Sage. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Besides that, you are also, an esteemed shit poster.
Writer, transfeminist,
all these other things.
Technologist.
Talk about yourself. Tell the people.
Great. Yeah. So, Jesus, I need to have a really good elevator pitch. You're right.
Oh, no, we should have thought about that.
Yeah. So, transfeminist. I do a lot of writing. I think a lot about the intersection of tech, politics, and also gender, like all three of those and how they interact. And I'm also a huge pop culture nerd, so I love seeing the ways that that our material conditions wind up influencing the art that we make. I love that.
I was going to say, all four of those things, they do be intersecting, don't they?
They sure do. They make a really nice, you know, spider web of a pattern, I got to say.
Well, yes, we're stewing it up, if you will. it needs more salt, but thank you
it
so
sure
much.
Does.
I got plenty lately, but thank you for being here. I'm so happy you're here. I'm just continuing to run down the list of mutuals and subjecting y'all to problematic 90s wrestling and just seeing who's still standing.
Right. This was a hell of an episode.
I feel like I just realized in this moment I'm doing my own little personal Mystery Science Theater 3000 Mads experiment on each and every one of you, and it's exquisite. I need a frame.
I'd never seen professional wrestling before this, really.
That was my next question. Like, what's your history, if any? Not at all.
So my history with professional wrestling is I had a cousin that almost wound up doing that and then didn't. And I can't say anything more than that without doxing myself, probably. But like,
fair enough. But also, probably good.
yeah. I mean, he would have been great at it. But that's the length of the most I have ever watched wrestling before this point was on Thanksgiving, when I was a little like 11-year-old girl, and being like, oh, that's cool. And then I just like wandered off and went and did something else. But
that,
like,
that was Thanksgiving. That was likely some sort of Survivor Series that you.
It sounds about right. There was like, I think like a guillotine at some point, and I was like, I don't know what. I can't track this.
That sounds
Everyone seems to be having a good time, but you know. Yeah, this was something else.
Yeah. This is 1996. This is before wrestling got its next, like, because I mean this shit's been around for well over a century at this point that we're watching. It's had its
yeah, Lincoln was a wrestler, right?
Hell fucking yeah, he was. I can't confirm or deny whether or not he was doing works or shoots to say whether it was for real or kayfabed and like scripted. I'm guessing he was probably straight up.
The difference between kayfabe, scripted stuff, and real, quote unquote, is just the amount of communication and coordination you've done, really.
It's how much you talk about it, and how hard you're trying to win, and like how good of a show you want to put on. Because like you can read about old matches before TV of pro wrestling exhibitions and matches that went on for like 3 hours. Terry Funk Jr.'s dad, Dory Funk, was a Texas death match that went on for like 3 hours with a guy, and the guy ended up in a different match dying in the ring of a heart attack. We actually see his son in Raw, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. His dad his dad helped invent the Texas death match with this other guy, and he ended up dying in the ring of a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Yes. It's, there's so much lore. That's just it. Like, it's hard to, you know, like, that's why I'd want to do this, because like, I have this is before we hit the next big peak, so it's real rough right now. And like, both these companies like kind of don't know what to do. The Federation, the WWE invents and all that, they're coming off the worst year they ever had, with like the worst drawing champion they ever had. WCW is the tail end of a previous union of territory promoter owners called the National Wrestling Alliance, I believe, or Association. I cannot remember. You think I should know this?
So they were federated.
They were absolutely federated. I could make that joke, because there used to be a bunch of territories and everyone had a different title, and everyone was like, the fans are like, this is bullshit. Like, who's the best? And they're like, you know what? Federation will fix this. So that's what they did. And
I'm glad we've been repeating this in different forms for years now. I feel real good about that.
Yeah, no, it keeps popping up and I hate it every time. My favorite is still a Starfleet admiral looking at a war-torn country just getting out of an oppressive regime. Federation will fix this. It's like, ooh, that one hurts. Bajoran Rebellion forever. Anyways.
Team Bajor.
Team Bajor. You can say, I have an Anarcho Bajoran design in the shop right now.
I need to check that out.
The WCW is the tail end of that organization. So they, and the WWE used to be part of that organization. They split like the 50s. So these two have always been fighting. So like, none of them's doing great. WCW only exists because Ted Turner bought the right to all of it and was like, I want to have wrestling on TV. I want to get in the wrestling business.
Does that explain? Okay. Is that why the weird thing happened at the end then? Like, we'll get to that, I'm sure. But like,
why don't we start with Raw, because Raw is juicy this week, to say the least. So I'm gonna skip ahead, because yeah, we can get into that. That is why Billionaire Ted, spoilers folks, we got swerved. For our longtime listeners, this is the third swerve that we have gotten. They keep telling us that they're weighing off Billionaire Ted, and then he keeps coming back.
That was so weird. That was a really, really odd bit, and it came out of left field, because I was like, where did the wrestling go?
Precisely, like, where did the wrestling go? The story of the WWE. it's like MTV. It's the same thing. Like, where did the music go?
Okay, they just like, my takeaway from this too was just, I watching it as somebody that loves camp, I was just immediately like, I saw the art in it, right? Like, I was able to be like,
yeah,
just the artistry, the performance, the amount of theatricality that was going on there. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. Like, this is genuinely really, really good.
If it wasn't super sad and cringe and toxic and two billionaires yelling at each other about bullshit.
And deeply problematic, and
in so many ways. So like, many ways.
It helped me fill in a little bit more about like my love for John Waters, to understand what he was responding to.
Oh,
in the zeitgeist, what he made, you know,
around 96. I was gonna say, God, what did he make in 96? Was that the one with Ed Furlong, or is that late? I can't remember what was happening with John Waters in 96.
Let me actually check. Let's see. Oh, he God, was doing.
That might be a thing to check on, yeah.
He started a John Waters Christmas at the Castro Theater. That was his first. That was his first night doing that.
Beautiful. I love just, that. Sorry.
Oh, he was between. Okay, so he had already done Crybaby. He was between Serial Mom and Pecker.
Okay, Pecker was the one I was thinking of. Okay, no, that tracks. Absolutely.
But this is almost like the middle ground between those two movies. You know, like, this connects the two. This is the interlog.
Holy shit! Yeah, no. Oh my God, I love that. That Sage, thank you for coming on and turning this into a John Waters wrestling podcast. My partner is.
You're welcome.
Fucking thrilled. Yes, thank you. So
we'll see by the end whether you regret inviting me or not.
Yes, hey, same to you. Because we returned to Raw with the return of off-brand Chris Isaac Wicked Games and Softcore Sonny's back. They've been doing a graphic warning, like warning graphic content, and then just going right into Sonny being sexy like this. But now they got rid of it. Now Sonny is the graphic warning content. Literally a graphic warning.
She did great. She looks wonderful. Like, well, I wish they would let her wrestle, honestly, because I was seeing that being like, okay, she's gonna kick ass. And
no,
then
unfortunately, I don't think Sonny wanted her. Sonny is like one of the greatest valets of all time, in my opinion. I have to say that because it's hard to tell how much of Sonny's reputation is the misogyny and how much is stuff that she actually did and how much is just
I have no context for that. I just saw a woman in a bikini and went, oh, she's probably badass, like, for her to be doing that.
No, this is why I love doing this show, because you see that and it's like, hell yeah. And I'm like, fuck yeah, no, let's give Sonny her flowers for that. Sonny's in jail for manslaughter right now. Sonny's story.
Who did she kill? Did they deserve it?
No, it was like a drunk driving deal.
Sonny, no.
Sonny had a rough. There's a whole dark side ring about it. I love Sonny. I think I said on a previous episode that, like, I wanted to be China and I wanted Sonny to be my girlfriend growing up, was the kind of thing. Or vice versa, depending on the day, you know, like,
yeah, the gender fluidity. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was still trying to figure it out. I was like 8. But now Vince growls and there's some explosion right out of that. And I'm like, okay, what what? Undertaker's doing some shit. Razor is getting gay harassed. The Ultimate Warrior is here. Sure, why not? Like, it's a very weird opening to Raw.
I had no context going in either. I was just like buckling in and being like, okay, wrestling.
No context. That must have been like going down the tunnel in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the opening of
absolutely how it felt. It felt like my temperature suddenly spiked to like 120 and I just immediately entered like a fever dream state.
Something fucked up is going on. Yeah.
At that point, it's like, well, I bought the ticket. I got to take the ride. Oh, yeah, so, no, like, let's see what happens.
No, Vince literally won't let you off. It will become a problem. It's terrible and gross, and I hate him, and I want him to never mind. Say beep. I've put beeps in before. I'll do it again.
Is he litigious?
Oh, God. Oh, my fucking God. I know, to the point that I know the name of his lawyer.
Jesus. So all that I know about that guy is literally from, I can say this because it's a degree of separation.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Josie.zone on Blue Sky has written some really great stuff about that.
We mentioned Josie a lot on this program, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So all that I know, that's maybe about the most that I know about wrestling is just that dude's, that dude's evil. Is all I know.
Oh yeah, well, that evil, I don't know if you've ever read Josie's book, Ringmaster, but I am absolutely one of Vince's kids. I read that book and I was sobbing at the end of it, because like that book was Josie, I love you. I'm not sure if you've ever listened, but we are mutuals and I adore you, and your book was very important. We've talked about it. Like
yeah, it's a great book. Like, genuinely.
She has said that it was her writing that book, like, was her goodbye to masculinity, because like she came out right as she was finishing it, basically. And
that's a trial, but that is a hell of a catharsis.
Oh my god. And she also has an essay that she wrote, like I want to say it's an essay about how wrestling made me cis and then it made me trans, and that's my that is absolutely my lived experience.
Okay. So
that's a big reason why I do this show too, because like this is what I was watching, this is what I was trying to, like, when I had to start playing boy, this is what they were telling me boy is.
Okay.
Yeah, so thank God Dustin got in there in a fucking wig and a full gold bodysuit, or I would have been real fucked up, I tell you what. So we are live for Raw in Cleveland. Speaking of fucked up, Vince has worked the fuck up. They are live and he's just like, fuck it, go. And the guy's announcing Razor Ramon, and just off mic you hear Vince let rip a yeah. Like,
it had a definite cocaine energy to it. Yeah, that was
Cocaine is the secret ingredient of both shows this evening. Absolutely.
And you know what? I could tell.
Yeah.
In retrospect, looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly what you would get. Okay.
Yeah, right. So he is so pleased with himself. We find out that last night at the In Your House, coming soon to Patreon. I'm sorry, we are behind on watch parties because I totally forgot there was one. It's been a week, folks. Okay, it's been a month. It's about to be a 4 years, if not more, probably more, let's be real. I am but a simple girl. I got behind, but we're gonna get it going. So I actually got surprised with stuff because normally I watch the pay-per-views before doing this, but they're gonna let us know that Razor beat the 1-2-3 Kid and put a baby bottle in his mouth. This is heterosexual, and it is
put a baby bottle in the mouth. You know, that's a really fascinating, you can really do a lot with that psychologically, like just
it's happened before on the air. It culminated in this match that they're talking about. Yeah, we had an episode called Chekhov's Baby Bottle for this very reason.
Perfect. Good. Because I was about to be like, okay, so we could do a psychodynamic analysis of who wrote the scripts for this. I don't know who wrote the scripts for this.
Well,
was this a group effort? Is this like the psyche of a very specific person?
So the way what you would call writing is like booking, the person who books the matches kind of, and like there's never been generally like a writer. You have a booker who says it's going to go this way and we'll do it this way. That's usually one person to a group of people. In the WWE, so Raw, up until they forced him out through like actual like federal papers saying you must leave and all this shit, it was Vince. Like Vince, this is all Vince's brain.
This is a reflection of his.
Yes.
This is his brainstem.
Yep. Any kind of story arc that they're trying to do, this is all his stew. They might improvise some of the words, especially at this point. It quickly gets to the point later on where everything's scripted. But at this point, a lot of it, and in WCW, it's all like improv. It's just get out there and do your shit.
That's great.
Oh, that's what pro wrestling is at its best. Personally, I like
it's pro wrestling at its best is violent, horny improv.
Yes. It's a mixture of athletics and theater, and it's all so horny, and we swear it's not gay. I swear it's not gay.
This is one of, without a doubt, the gayest things I've ever watched. Yeah, and I mean that as a compliment.
I know. Well, it keeps showing up in my notes because I'm like, Jesus Christ, this keeps happening. But yeah, so first gay thing, baby bottle mouth, that happened again. And now here comes the weird one, the bizarre one. Gold Dust. We can't say that we
I love that they were the champion. They had a definite like they he like Vimbo energy.
For Dusty, for Gold Dust.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going with they he. Awesome. I can take that. We could ask him.
he exists on the
internet.
There was a definite they energy mixed in with that. Like it was just the power behind that, and then them coming in as the champion too. I was like,
oh yeah, and they won it off of Razor. So like, and it's a whole thing. The problem with it's all lovely, right? You see this without the context, and you're like, this is great. This is gay. This is real queer and awesome. You could see the they pronouns. In canon, it's a he, him, but he's basically like a drag queen that's obsessed with movies. His director is Marlena, who's in his IRL wife. Yes, he's like a drag queen obsessed with movies. He's gold like an Oscar. And like they got some weird freaky shit going on apparently, but she just showed up. At first it was just he showed up and they're like, this guy's some sort of quirk, and like, yeah, what's going on, and like they just kind of, so what the fuck's going on here, you quirk? And then he brings in his wife and they like suck tongue and shit on pay-per-views, and it's like, okay, well, what are you then? And because bisexuality hadn't been invented yet, and they didn't know what to do with it, so like it's all this thing of like he gets real gay at you to get you off your shit, you know. So unfortunately,
oh, he's a chaotic bisexual.
He is a chaotic bisexual. Gold Dust is a chaotic bisexual. Well said, Sage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. You have such a read on this. I love it.
I was watching this just being like, so actual person is also queer, right?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
No.
Nope. He ends up.
Dust. Why?
Here, I'll give you this. Dustin is a good dude now. At the time, he had trouble. Dustin is the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. He is a Texas-born cowfolk type. He also was one of the first people on the AEW roster to have trans flag merchandise in the store.
Oh shit!
Yes, he one of his stepkids. He has a stepson that's trans, and like is a good dude. And I every fucking day, Sage, I wonder if he knows what he did for us. And I'm about to that's cry. Huge. Oh my god! This is the first time I think I've ever gotten actually emotional on the pod. I'm sorry. I hope Dustin knows what he did for us because he helped me. He showed me that you can do that and kick someone's ass if they don't like it. and that's. Yeah. That's cool.
Actually the preferred method over over nothing and or thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, right. You know, so like, and in the meantime, he comes out lighting Marlena's cigar because she's smoking on TV, and all this is just hot as fuck. Like everything about it is just so hot. It's awesome. I love it. It's great. Marlena starts like flirting with Razor to distract him, and he plays into it because like his whole thing is that he is oozing machismo. You know, he's that guy, and he's had to hate crime Goldust a couple times because Goldust keeps flirting with him. That is an actual line. Glad did have to get involved. At one point.
I'm real glad that their name in real life is Dustin.
Real life is Dustin Rhodes, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that Dustin had a come to Leslie Feinberg moment and did right, you know? They had a redemption arc.
The other thing to understand too is that he didn't choose this. This was given to him by Vince. Vince hates his dad. Vince was doing this to him. What ended up happening is that Dustin was so fucking good at it that he got over in spite of it, and people started loving him because he's a weird little freak. And like it
hell yeah,
he wrote it to a, he still works today. He's still working. He's on AEW and he trains the women because they all trust him. Good dude.
Oh wow, like, that is a huge vouch.
Oh my God. No, on the plane ride for hell, like one of the worst known stories of wrestling awfulness where Ric Flair absolutely assaulted a woman. When they talked to her about it, when they talked to the woman, the survivor about it on Dark Side of the Ring, she said the only person that was any good to me on that whole ride was that Gold Dust fella. And he was just drunk and crying because him and Marlena were breaking up. And like, but he got Rick off of her and away from her. Like he's the one good guy in a plane full of monsters. And he was going through his shit too. He was drunk and fucked up.
Well, that's especially when you need to show up for other people though too, is when you're going through it. Like it's that moment of like, well, yeah, things are terrible for me too right now. But like, that's especially important to show up for in your life. Yeah.
And the fact that he was all fucked up in that worst place, but he saw the shit going on and said, hey, cut it the fuck out. That tells me everything I didn't know about Dustin Rhodes. Yeah. You know, that
okay, his... you gave me context on Dustin here, and I like him again now. He's made right with the universe.
Well, I've often said I've talked to my therapist about this, believe it or not. He gets a laminated fucking.
You must have your therapist must have an amazing time.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. I'm sure she's listened once or twice. Hi, if you're there. but like, now I lost track of thought. Oh, I give him a laminated pass because what you have to realize is he's going out there and he's doing this and he's being gayer because he's getting heat from the homophobic crowd. So that's the point, is he wants them to hate him, and he ends up getting so good at it and being so charming about it that they end up loving him for it. Plus, as we'll talk about, it's in my notes here, so I'll just talk about it. They're trying to paint him as this villain, but there's a huge sign in the crowd saying Goldust is God. We have always been here, bitches. Like that, from the moment he debuted, there was people in makeup and wigs
That's fascinating. They were trying to make him into the villain. I literally like couldn't get that from the context of just watching, because I saw him come out and I was like, oh, that's one of my people. Great.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be the bad guy in this whole thing. They're absolutely they're trying to gay bash him. They're trying to say that he's like trying to be gay at the super hot, straight, you know, macho guy. And we have to beat it out of him.
Super hot macho thing is that's where, if you're a guy, like that is absolutely where you would be the most gay. That is the hyper testosterone. Like, we're all gonna be like hella mask party. Like, that's the Spartan shit. What?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it gets it, and they, as if they wanted to like get into it with us, because like I'm not gonna say much about this match. Not a lot happens. Lawler's terrible. Marlena is fucking hot. She's got this like gold chainmail mini dress that I need in my life.
I was gonna say, I need that. Like, that is beautiful. If anyone can make that, please DM me on Blue Sky.
Yes, please. I also need that. I also need Sage needing that. So like, this is all wonderful. The only other thing that I gotta say about the match itself, at one point, Razor catches Dustin. Dustin tries to do what was called a crossbody, where he just like throws himself at the fucker, you know? And he catches him, and he does what he calls his SOS, or sack of shit, where he just dumps him. He just throws him overhead and fall away slam. But he did it this time over the rope onto the floor. Like, Dustin got dumped. I have never seen him do that before or since, as far as I know. So I have to take note of that, folks. If you don't watch along, like, this is, there's not a whole lot going on in this match, but for that alone, it's worth checking out.
Okay, how did they avoid, or did they even try to avoid winding up with like concussions? Because wow, this is really well done, like physical theater, right? Because they're taking dives, they're slamming into each other. There's just like, it's a grab bag of like Hammer space violence, right?
It gets better over time. Like, nowadays it's even better. And absolutely, when you're the it's always been that like they're not trying to hurt each other, and if you are in there trying to hurt someone, you're doing it wrong. The whole point is to make it look like you're trying to, but you are absolutely, it's all based on trust. Like, you are literally putting your life in this person's hands, because a lot of these moves,
it's kink.
It's absolutely kink. I've said it a million times. No, professional wrestling is kink. See John Moxley. If you need any indicator that professional wrestling is kink, John Moxley's book.
Oh my God, there's a sub and a dom, and they start working out and negotiating the terms of the
babies and heels, baby faces and heels. Yes, it's all kink. It's all kink. It really is. So like, but you are putting your trust in this person to perform this scene while protecting you and performing for the wider audience and telling a story through your violence to the audience. That's what professional wrestling is, and that's why you sell it, because they want the good guy to win, so you make it look like he's hurt and then he comes back and everyone's happy. And that's what professional wrestling is. It's theater, and it's kink, and it's acrobatics, and it's gay as hell. But all these guys are like, most of them are monsters that are right wing and would never admit to that, but like,
it's
look at
such
it
a fascinating, because a lot of the stuff while I was watching it too, I'm going like, I can remember where the only way that I could show affection towards people who were masculine was through violence. That's sad. Yep. Like, that's distinctly, I mean, I ignored that. I just did what I wanted to anyway, but like, I distinctly remember the learning that, like, internalizing that as like, oh, this is one of the rules that I have to choose to break if I'm gonna break it. Yeah. And
yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say again, just, folks, go find Josie's essay, because like, fuck.
Yeah, link to it in the show notes.
I should. You're right. Yeah, thank you for helping me be more professional.
This is great. Yeah.
It will never be more than mid, though. That's my guarantee. It's the brand. I got to uphold it.
Important.
But yeah, absolutely, though. And absolutely. Guarantee. And to like lay into that whole point even more, the way this goes, Goldust runs away to make the queers look cowardly. And he gets counted out, because when you lose by a count out, if you're a champion, you still get the belt. So he can lose but still be champion, basically. So
that just sounds like strategy, then.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. thank you, but they
somebody's trying to hate crime you, like, no, you just leave. Like,
yeah fucking it, thank you.
So are then you kidding me?
Right, braver than the troops, because like, god
yeah, man. Absolutely no, a tactile retreat is valid, okay?
Yes, yeah, so live to kick your ass another day, and then exactly. He makes a little like sound and it's super cute.
That is exactly how the Vietnamese people were able to defeat American imperialists, is they were willing to be very tactile about when they attacked, when they didn't. Like, you have to be smart about this. It's also going to tie me saying that is also going to tie into one of the complaints I had about later. Yeah, I was real mad about that.
I was going to say, listeners, that we call that foreshadowing. I often say that Goldust gets that laminated pass I talked before earlier, because he's going out there trying to get people to call him a faggot. And I was like, well, and they did. So I was like, if you have been out in public with a whole crowd of people looking at you and screaming at you like you're a faggot, then you and I have something in common, Dustin. Whether you are actually gay or not, we have that same lived experience. So congrats. You're welcome to the potluck, you know, like you can come.
Congratulations. You wound up accidentally. LARPing is what we have to deal with every day. Good luck.
Exactly. And I think as he got older, he had more lived experiences that where he started to kind of realize that, I think.
I love a cishet guy with perspective. That is one of my favorite types of guy. Like the ones that are just like, they get enough that they understand, like, oh, other people have it way worse. Like, this could be gnarly, you know?
Like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have to, like, roll as high as everybody else when it comes to any kind of, like, skill check.
It's fucking wild. So, yeah, that's what that is. And then to speak to how gay Razor actually is, Razor grabs the mic, and I need to stress here, whole thing that all this has been him trying to do gay at him, and he hates it. Which makes it confusing that he goes, hey, yo, Goldust, I don't want your belt. I want your ass. And I'm like, baby.
Okay. I made a note of that. I was like, what the
Like, Scott, hold up.
It made it really difficult to tell when they were trying to be homophobic, because they were just so, it was so aggressively queer the whole time. It felt like, have you ever gone to like you go to a gay bar or a queer bar, right? And you go in and you expect, oh, it's queer, like a queer bar is like how it's labeled. So it's probably just going to be kind of like neutral. You're going to have like a bunch of different types of people, right? And you go in and you're like, oh, this is like a gay guy club. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and it's just like the most intense shit you've ever seen in your life. Like, it's just like a whole bunch of Mad Max Witness Me shit. And you're like, yeah. You're like, oh, this is totally different than how I experience queerness. Okay.
Like, there's a queer bar and then there's a gay bar, and those two things can sometimes.
Oh my God. Yeah, they sure can sometimes. Not always. I always just assume, oh, it's a neutral space unless I know ahead of time. And God damn. Oh.
It's real bad. Yeah, so Scott does in that, but that's what it is. It's like they've worked themselves so up into back around to gay, because like, Scott, we need to go over this promo quick, buddy. I talked to some gay guys and they said this makes you sound like the cop in the Village People. Like, no one likes that guy, Scott. Like, this is, they cut the they cut to the crowd as they apologize for the language, saying this, and it is saying it would be wrong. And the crowd's just a bunch of little kids. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like,
just
what?
A bunch of children. And it's like, what the hell? Who thought this was a good idea?
Like, what are you getting? But then they try to make sense, because they're trying to, because then he goes in after Roddy Piper, even though he fucks up his name. And he says, like, hey, I don't want my kids seeing this stuff, meaning the good, good gay shit. And he actually gets booed by the crowd. And I'm like, okay, yes, there we go. Like, it's just so weird. All of it, and the crowd is all over the place.
Based on where politics has shifted to now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it makes a little more sense in 96. But even then, it was like still conservative at that point.
I mean, I can see once you were like, oh, yeah, this is a bunch of the he who shall not be named because of litigation. I was like, oh, okay.
Ah, fuck, you could say Vince's shit. Okay, no, this is absolutely Vince's bait. This is Vince playing with his toys is what all of this is.
Okay, well, I just didn't know if it was like a...
It's not that hardcore, but... Sometimes
people are just like real... They have more money than they do people in their life, so then they just wind up wasting it on lawsuits.
I guess I'll just say, if I ever reference any actual crimes, I'll say allegedly, unless he actually got popped for it, because there are some of those. And some of them are coming back around, baby.
Great. Allegedly. That's my favorite term when I'm talking shit about somebody online, is I'm like, allegedly, I heard this. This was said to me.
Yep. So, like, Razor says he doesn't want kids seeing this, whatever. He has Piper for a match with Goldust again, because Goldust thinks he's sexy and hot, and so let's have a date. And again, this promo could have just been a Grinder message, Razor. Like,
needed the tone.
Exactly. Like, the tech wasn't there yet. They tried to go to commercial, but first Paul Bearer squeals at a coffin, and out comes the under lich taker. Earlier you were just like, what the fuck is an undertaker? It's a lich. It's a lich. He's basically a lich. He's undead. He does not sell.
Are they just killing him on stage on repeat, and he just keeps coming back?
Not constantly, but it's happened more than a handful of times. He got buried alive. He's been set on fire in a coffin, and he comes back usually in some newer version of his gimmick, and it leads to a new story and a new arc after a new person.
I gotta say, I was real upset he didn't come out wearing, you know, like either Danzig or Misfit style like face paint. I was really hoping like Doyle from the Misfits was going to be underneath that big ass hat.
Earlier Taker had more dusty skin tone.
I needed the Crow, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted a giant muscular Crow, you know? Like Stairway to Heaven, like just pump the 9-inch nails, get the Rob Zombie out, like just get weird with it.
You are one promotion and 1 year away from having that. That happens in WCW in the God later.
Damn it. Yeah. Okay, you're going to need to have me on for that episode then.
I will bring you back for Crow Sting.
I want to see the Crow Undertaker so bad.
So did a lot of people, so WCW did it.
That's beautiful. I'm real glad that they listened to the fans.
Right? So we come back from all that shit, and there's some like wild early CGI for the WWF store, and Doc Hendricks doing his goofy QVC voice. I hate this. I did take note, though, that these prices are fucked. $29.95 for an adult-size sweatshirt in 1996 money. Get fucked. Like, oh my God.
That is insane. Yeah. No wonder I never had any of this. That's how much shirts cost now.
No. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, no way. There's no way. I'm happy my parents said no. They should have said no. Like, that's like $60. Like, what the fuck?
I feel like that's got to be even more. Okay.
Say again, Sage is so curious. I keep doing this to guests. They get so curious at me not having done the numbers that they just do it themselves. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh God, no! You ballparked that, and you're actually pretty much spot on. It's $30 in 1996 is worth $60.36 today.
I hate what that says about my brain. All right.
Oh my God. You get so many points for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's really impressive.
I've been at this for 25 episodes, so this has been bothering me for a while. But yeah. Speaking of capitalism, Raw this week is brought to you by Edge, and the combo of logos seeing Raw and Edge on the screen made me giggle because I'm 12. And you can't take that away from me, Vince. I don't think he knew what he was doing, but it's like 30 years from now.
30 years from now, this is going to be 30 years from now, this is going to mean something involving gooning, and you have no idea.
You have no goon. I like that guy. It's a good gimmick. Yeah. The goon. We could do something.
A gooner.
Yeah. A gooner. If you will. Again, other company, there's the Dungeon of Doom in the other company, but we all tend to call them the Dungeon of Goon because they're gooners.
That would be an absolutely it would need to be 18 plus, and everyone would need to be opting in consensually to know what they were getting in for. But the idea of a dungeon of a wrestler who just comes out is so funny to me, though. Like, that's prime entertainment, you know?
That has to exist on the indies. That's almost an Effie bit. I feel like that's almost an Effie bit. Oh, God.
It needs to be. Again, like, just for anyone here, like, everybody needs to know in advance. Everyone's consenting, enthusiastic consent, so and so, blah 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 blah.
18 right? plus shows generally, like when you go when you go to a promotion, I feel like you know what you're getting into. Like, they let you know death match is happening. Like, there's going to be blood and fucked up shit. Like,
yeah, it's going to get weird.
It's going to get weird. Here's a poncho. But I'm pretty angry at all this. This all sucks, though. It goes on for several minutes, and I hate it. But they do let us know more about what happened in the pay-per-view that we haven't watched yet. The Undertaker did one of his cooler things, actually. He came out from under the ring and pulled the guy under to end the match.
That's such a good move, though. Like, that's
admittedly pretty metal. Like,
that's metal as hell. That's some, like, Metalocalypse stuff. Like, it just is... Yeah,
really like that. So, like, you know, oh, it sucks that he sucks so bad, but there's a reason that guy had a career in this company for 30 years. Like, he found ways to make it interesting, which is good because he's not the greatest wrestler. But they pull us back
Can't get good, then you need to get interesting. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. It's the same thing. And he's not the smartest gentleman. I'll give him that. He had Trump on before the election, and like, I hated him already for all this shit, but I was like, I'm never going to be nice to Undertaker for the rest of this podcast. We got at least 5 more years of this podcast. I'm just going to hate him forever.
No, just tear him to shit. Yeah. Read him for filth.
Yes. No, dead man. No, he's dead little bitch. I hate him. He's awful. He's the undead lich. Lich bitch is what he is in my mind for the rest of the time. He's just lich
unrealized bitch. Potential.
Yes, he is so much unrealized potential. Mark Calloway. Oh, you could have been better. But yeah, they pull away from all that bullshit. We get Vader coming down to interrupt a jobber match, which is kind of funny. Like, they had a match going on. They're like, no, fuck this, send Vader. And he kills everyone. Aldo Montoya and Barry Horowitz get fed to the Mastodon Man. Aldo Montoya takes the most terrifying choke slam I've ever seen. He lands all fucked up, and I was just like, this is terrible. And as we were talking about, I'm happy you brought it up, like, the safety issue of, like, not trying to hurt people.
Like, what?
Vader, not that guy. Vader, known for hurting people.
Oh, he's a bull. Some of that looked like it hurt.
Oh, no. He, and, like, the hits, too, especially because he knows how big he is. So, like, what are you going to do about it? And that... The only reason he is in this company now is because he did that so much at WCW that one of the guys was like, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do about it, and knocked his ass out. And he finally got in trouble for bullying, and the other guy got a raise because he beat up Vader. And they're like, holy shit, you knocked out Vader? So, like, yeah, so that's why he's over here.
You're getting a lot of insight into the culture of...
Oh, my God. It's this is
horrifying. Like, congratulations, you assaulted your coworker. Here's a raise.
Oh my God, it's happened before. CM Punk, it still happens sometimes. Congratulations, you assaulted your coworkers and technically your bosses. We're gonna give you your own show on TNT. That happened a couple years ago. He eventually got fired because he proceeded to assault his coworkers again, and it was like, God damn it, dude! Oh, no, wow.
What did they expect to have happen when they gave him a raise? I don't.
Yeah, right. Guess where he works now? The Fed.
Oh, God.
Like the WWE, where the same thing. Vader got fired for fighting in the back, and he works at the WWE. CM Punk got fired for fighting in the back. He went back to the WWE. A company he said he would never work for on personal moral grounds, because that's the kind of guy he is. No, he don't give a fuck. He's just a pet. I love you, Phil. You're just a petty little man, and that's okay.
It's an easy thing to say until you need a paycheck.
Yeah, and he's our petty little man. Like, he's, again, Phil is good about trans rights, and he's good about a lot of good. He's got great politics, but he's a fucking asshole. You can't fight your coworkers. I'm sorry, Phil. You just can't do it. But
you know what? I have a lot of respect
Yeah.
for assholes with good politics.
Yeah, no, then CM Punk, Pepsi Phil is absolutely, he's obsessed with Pepsi. He's a straight edge guy. That should
see,
give you
I
more.
I recognize CM Punk, just the name. I was pretty sure he was like part of Gigi Allen's band. I didn't know for sure.
Holy shit, no, though I can't imagine two people who would get along worse than CM Punk and Gigi Allen. CM Punk's like a straight edge guy. Like, yeah, no, holy fuck. But speaking of coworkers that people want to beat up in the back, we get a package for Ultimate Warrior. Holy shit. Do you know much about Ultimate Warrior?
I have literally no idea. I heard Ultimate Warrior and then I just started thinking of Ultraman, like the, like the Japanese show.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is going to be like a, you know, like a kaiju crossover kind of a thing. Like, great.
That exists, but not this. No.
There. It, oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna need to ask you about that later.
Yep. The creator is on Blue Sky. We're mutuals. Anyways, but yes, that's a good understanding. Ultimate Warrior basically is a human kaiju, in the sense that he is steroids and amphetamines, and he is words. I don't think he knows what all of them are. And he doesn't do cardio. And he can't work. What? And everyone hates him. He's not a good wrestler, but he's just huge. And he has this intensity. And so, like, Vince was like, this is my new Hogan. Like, back in the late 80s, early 90s, he's like, this is my guy. And he was supposed to be the new Hogan. But he can't fucking work. And he can't really go because he doesn't do cardio. He does cocaine. And, like,
that's not, in fact, a replacement for cardio.
Yeah, unfortunately,
cannot replace a treadmill.
No, ask Ric Flair. You have to do cocaine and cardio. That's how you keep up. So, like,
I just stick to the treadmill. But it's impressive, you know. Respect if you can do that ethically, then great.
If you can keep it up. Oh, Ric Flair has never done anything ethically in his life. And Ultimate Warrior turns out
pretty much all of the wrestlers awful. Is that just a recurring theme? Is everybody kind of a ghoul?
We're going to get to one of them who's pretty much good, but on thin ice at one point in this episode. And Dustin is pretty all right.
And Dustin. Okay. We did discuss Dustin and no, like, Gigi.
Asshole. Basically they exist, but it's a handful and most of them are on the indies. But Ultimate Warrior coming back is a big deal because at this point he has already gotten fired because everyone hates him. And we realize that you can only sell so much around a guy who can't fucking work a good match. So the fact that this is him getting like his last chance, and you know, it's like he gets a package, he doesn't actually even show up. And I think it doesn't go well. I think like we're seeing this, and I was surprised to see it because I think he maybe shows up once or twice and then never comes back. He ends up being he ends up living his life as an extremely far right, like self-help guru speaker.
Gross.
Yeah, he ends up getting back on good terms with Vince long enough to get into the Hall of Fame and then died 2 days later.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, considering you just said he was far right, good.
Yep. Oh, no, nothing of value was lost, but it's one of the more interesting stories because he, like, got his big comeback and he got to talk to people on TV again and he was like, everyone loved him and cheered him and they died. And I was like, yeah, good, there you go, fucking rest in piss.
That's all he was asking for. He just needed that before he could go.
Yeah, so I'm happy they gave it to him. Wish they would have done it sooner, but Minecraft. They show us some WrestleMania tickets. It's a banger one to go to, y'all. If you have time machines, WrestleMania 12 is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to doing it on the Patreon. There will be hate crimes, don't worry, because it's still 96.
America.
I love America so much. We come back to more Sunny being hot. And speaking of loving America, singing happy birthday to the president. Like, okay, Vince says, which president is she singing to? I'm guessing Gorilla Monsoon and Bill Clinton specifically, the president of the company in kayfabe and our president at the time. I think it was President's Day, maybe. Either way, they're pushing it. Yeah, there were signs, as we like to say. There were signs that maybe Vince McMahon might have been a fucking creep. Maybe.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So that happened again.
What clued you in? What clued you in? Was it the bottles?
It was mostly the lawsuits. But they cut to they cut to Bob
Backlund. Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. Yeah. You know what? littles are chill as hell. Not my thing, but like they're chill as hell.
Yeah,
no, you're totally right. No, it's the lawsuits. It's definitely the lawsuits. I retract my statement.
Yeah, no, it's not the bottles. I think that like I think he wanted it to be weird, but also I'm not gonna yuck anyone's yum as everyone's consensual. That's fine and of age. Then there you go. More power to you. It's not the bottles, it's the everything else. Everything else. And they cut to Bob back when bothering people in the crowd. That's a guy who, that's a long story. He's like a crazy politician. So they're like, yeah, we're talking politics. Let's have Bob do something. I don't know.
Okay, is this the Bob Dole thing where I was, because they just started talking about Bob Dole for one part of the episode. And I was like, is Bob Dole going to fight? Was that a thing he did to sell Viagra? I'm so confused.
I feel like that's a vertical that was untapped by them and that they really could have gone.
They may have also just misheard, because whoever was doing the announcing was also just like, there's a couple points where they just started, just all their words were running together and they sounded like they were getting drunk on air. So
could have been. Lawler had a cold or something too. Unfortunately, he recuperated. But yeah. I imagine that they said Bob Backlund and you heard Bob Dole, but could have been both.
You hear what you want to hear, you know? Because I would love to watch Bob Dole wrestle at his prime.
I want Bob Dole versus Marty Jannetty. Yes. So yes, here comes Marty Jannetty. Unfortunately, not Bob Dole. But his opponent, the $1 million champion, is the ringmaster, and it's Steve Austin, the guy who will go on to be the biggest draw in the history of the business. He is not that yet.
This is pre like fame, like Stone this Cold is, Steve Austin.
This is before he's Stone Cold. In fact, Vince says, talk about a Stone Cold man as he's walking out. And that's the first time he is referred to as Stone Cold.
Okay. I was wondering, because I heard that and I was like, oh.
Yeah, you got some
history.
That's
how he got the name.
There's so many stories. There's so much lore about how he got the name. Apparently, he got it from his British wife who told him to drink his tea before it got Stone Cold. And he was like, ooh, Stone Cold. I like that. But yeah, at this point, he's probably talked to Vince and said, hey, let's push that. Let's get that across. And sure enough, he shaved his head fully. He used to have kind of a peach fuzz thing going on. And he started to grow the goatee. And he's like in black trunks. So like, he's like three pictures into the Animorphs transformation picture on the cover. Basically, from stunning Steve Austin, the Hollywood blonde, to Stone Cold. Yeah, he's like three in. He's getting there. It's pretty great, actually. I've continued to love to see this rebirth of Steve Austin. And like, this journey is very much going to kind of end up being about him in a lot of ways. just because of how it went. Like, we talked earlier about the booms and busts of the business. Like, they ride him to the biggest high they've brought, one of the biggest highs they've ever had up until now, basically. And you've talked about how like, oh, this is all like war stereotypes and stuff, and like, this is a spot where they didn't have a war, and the war they got was class war, because Stone Cold is going to turn into the redneck who beats up his boss on TV. And that
what I was telling you, I think I messaged you this on Discord as I was like, as I was watching, but I was like, this is so odd, because this feels like American Empire responding to the collapse of the Soviet Union, right? Like there's like this weird power vacuum thing, and like, we don't have a bad guy anymore, right? Like a bad guy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So like, okay, well, we don't have an other, like we have to just start finding an other. And it just felt like, watching this, I was like, it just feels like they're just they're rapidly iterating on potential others and trying to desperately see what clicks. And it's just such an odd dynamic to see in motion, like real, like end of history hours, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like the nihilism of that.
Absolutely. We're in the age of it. And that's kind of what was going on. They didn't know what to do. Like they didn't, none of the old shit was working. Yeah. Because
the anti-communism fell apart. What do we do if we're not just anti-tanky? Yeah,
exactly. They don't know what the fuck to do. And turns out, folks really liked seeing the rich asshole boss get the shit beat out of him by the beer swilling, you know, everyman. And that's where Stone Cold ends up.
That's pretty good. Kind of into that.
Right? In the meantime, though, him and Marty Jannetty have a fucking awesome match. This is before Austin still, they're trying to sell him as the ringmaster. And there's this guy in WCW called Dean Malenko. And his whole thing is he's the man of a thousand moves. And I feel like they're trying to make Austin.
So he's Malenko basically Taskmaster?
Kind of,
like from Marvel Comics?
Absolutely. No, Dean Malenko is tasky and he's good at it. And like, he's awesome. And he like really does know all this shit. And he's like one of my
That's kind of cool though, because I like Taskmaster. Like Taskmaster is awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah. No, like Dean Malenko is amazing. Second generation, his dad was Boris Malenko, I believe. And he's like, I want to say Ukrainian?
That sounds Ukrainian. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they're Ukrainian Jewish immigrants. And he was like a big deal.
Yeah,
he was a big deal in like the 50s, 60s. So he's second generation, but they're trying to rip him off by calling him the ringmaster. And they have Austin does a goddamn STF like John Cena ends up doing later on. But better than Cena ever did it. But he does all these like technical submission moves, and like Stone Cold Steve Austin is not that. So this is really weird that they're trying to make him a Dean Malenko clone. But like what ends up selling is like this guy, the whole thing that sells is just gonna beat the shit out of you. There's no moves involved. The moves are his fist in your face, basically. Like, so like, I love you, Steve, but this is gross. Like, I don't like seeing this version. Like, it's
had a little bit of like just raw Antifa energy, you know, like there's it was very like, oh, this was supposed to be a peaceful protest and things went sideways. like oh, okay. Like I was just like, that is distinctly one of the points where I was watching him just wail. And I was that's when I messaged you, like, where are these men's mothers? Like they needed mothers. Like there's like this like wounded child. They like devolved. It was so odd to see.
It's so weird. Yeah. And like Steve ends up like he gets over leaning into that, where the moments where you see him getting more brutal like that, that becomes this whole thing. And he ends up catching him in the $1 million dream, which is Ted DiBiase's hold. That has to be his finisher. Because again, they don't know what to do with them. So they're like, we'll give you the DiBiase. We'll give you the fancy belt that doesn't actually mean anything. You know, and all this shit. They don't know what to do with them. So like, 1996 is cool because we're going to be watching.
So it is that iterating that I mentioned then. I did click into that then. It really felt, there's so much in this episode that felt like, what is the fastest way that we can just gauge audience reaction and then move on to the next bit? Like it felt, it simultaneously felt completely anarchistic, like in the just disorganized meaning of the word, which is not an accurate way to use it, but you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Chaotic.
Yeah. The chaotic way of it versus actual anarchists, which tend to be very, very well organized, like shockingly.
Yeah. Terrifyingly. So it always freaks people out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We tend to be really good at that. It's
means the power goes sideways, assholes. That's all it means.
Yeah, literally. Yes.
Fucking hell.
It's just like, oh yeah, we just let people self-organize. They don't have to ask for permission to do everything. Yeah.
It just means instead of changing who's wearing the boot, we just destroy the boot and burn it for fuel.
Yeah. It turns out you don't need the boot. You can just not have the boot.
Yeah, but if you're gonna have boot, make sure it has tassels on, like Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, god damn it. Yeah, if there is going to be a boot, it should be a fabulous boot. It should be nice, lickable boot.
oh my god. Okay, yes, we're going there already. We haven't gotten to Nitro yet. Holy shit.
Oh god. Okay. Yeah. Let's stay on track.
So he passes Jannetty out, whatever. But on the way to commercial, they give us you're talking about guys who are good, wrestlers who don't suck. Mm-hmm. They give us Mankind. And this is like one of my favorite Mankind promos ever. Mick Foley gives us poetry. He like just is reading like poetry about the nature of mankind while petting his pet rat and like the devil and God just and
shockingly
shit.
Esoteric. I loved it. I was like, what?
This is a guy who used to, that's Mick Foley. He's it makes sense that he is a award-winning author. He's a best-selling author.
No, he isn't. What?
Absolutely. Of both nonfiction and fiction. Yeah, absolutely. I've read three of his nonfiction books. His books are what finally told me that wrestling was kayfabe. I read him when I was like 11, like 10 or 11, and he like explains how it worked. And I was like, oh, well, Foley wouldn't lie to me. Like, Mankind's good. Foley's good. So, like, yeah, no, which is amazing considering there's times where he, like, can't walk because his brain's so messed up. You have to understand, this guy is literally the crowned king of the deathmatch in Japan. He has done shit that has never been done before. This guy throws his body into everything he does for the love of, just for the love of the theater of
the
it.
Performance, yeah. He sacrifices his,
it's
oh God.
Wild. I've
it's
heard
that,
him,
okay.
It's that thing. I've heard him talk about it. He talks about it. It's like, the thing is that he gets an image in his head of like, you know, fuck, I bet I could do it. And now I want to see if I could do it. I really want to see if I can do it. I think it'd be
And you want to see if you
it.
Can deliver that to the audience.
And
yeah.
he was like, no, I can I do it. And he has what he calls the Foley risk reward ratio. And he sometimes has to run it real fast. Yeah, he's like, do I want
to
do
this? You're having to evaluate whether you can do that in the moment to be a good performer.
Like, is the pop that I'm going to get and the memory I'm going to make for these people worth the fact that I'm not going to be walking funny for 2 weeks when I have to work again in 4 days? You know, that's Foley. But in the meantime, he gives us this shit where he's doing this super, like, and how does he end it? Oh, I forget how he ends it, but he says, oh, yeah, no, when God created me, maybe he slept that day too. And it's just like,
that was just beautiful. Like,
oh,
just
my God.
I'm glad that he's written books because he should. Like, that was just wonderful. I didn't know where the hell that came from. Like, everything else is just like,
that was all him. He probably made it up on the fly, to be honest. He probably like made it up completely on the fly.
That's beautiful.
This is a guy who before big matches would listen to Tori Amos in his locker room, like blared to get him and Dustin, as far like Mankind, Mick Foley is on thin water because of some of the stances that he's had to take in regards to Vince, but I think that's because he's technically still getting paid by that motherfucker and he doesn't want to lose that. I think also like his kid works for the company at this point, his son does as a writer, so like I think the only reason that Mick hasn't gone harder, let's put it this way, when Undertaker had Donald Trump on his podcast right before the election, Mick Foley got on social media and spent like 2 minutes talking about how fuck that was and fuck you and vote for Kamala and like the and how like and like
that broken. Sounds like he is in a really odd financial position and has to figure out how to thread the needle.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. And also like he's fucked up. The guy can barely walk nowadays. Like, because of the how much he gave to us. So like that's the other thing. Like Goldust and Mick Foley are two of the, because like Goldust told me you could be pretty and queer and feminine and kick someone's ass if they didn't like it. And Mick Foley told me it's okay to have depression and it's okay to be a little fucking weird and neurodivergent and have people not understand you. And that's okay. And to be like weird in that way. And like those two things like built me as a person in a lot of ways. Like wrestling.
Yeah, that affirmation, that like reassurance that like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine to be like weird. It's fine to be kind of like a freak with it a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they both of them lean into it. And like it makes me so happy that they both ended up being like the handful of people who didn't suck, basically. Because I was like, good, I got all right judgment there. But yeah, it was so great to see that. And I guess Yoko had a hell of a night coming back into where we were on Raw. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about that's going to lead to a handicap against Camp Cornette. I have to mention it because it happened, but really it's just nothing. I'm just happy that they didn't give Yoko shit for being fat anymore. They did that last week and I was like,
no, they didn't.
He lost a match because he fell out of the ring and his partners couldn't lift him up to get him back in before the
time. I was really enjoying that there was just like I actually really liked that he was just like triumphantly just like in his body and present and like powerful with it. I was like, oh fuck yeah, this is actually really good. Like you can show like, hey, you don't need to be like there's different ways to be strong. Like I was really into that. I thought that was super cool. I would have been so bad if I saw that episode.
Vince will kill that for you. Yeah, no, when you're not allowed to have that, Vince will kill that because everyone has to look like him, which is write it out. Yeah, it's fucked.
He looks like a bear with mange though. Like that's so weird.
You're not wrong. It's all weird. But yeah, we come back to people losing it for Taker because, like, people love this guy. You know, like, he's a lich bitch. People love him because he was theatric and different and weird. He's like 6 years into his gimmick at this point. Like, he's kind of like, it's run its course. The fact that he's still loved this much is amazing to be honest. And I believe this is our main event already. It's him versus Tatanka is back, and he is scared shitless of Taker. Tatanka, I looked into it, actually native, but not the kind of native who would use the word Tatanka.
I was gonna ask about that. I had that in my notes.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
like, please tell me it's actually someone who's indigenous at least.
They split the uprights there, I guess, because, like, yes, he's indigenous. No, he's not Dakota.
They just took a word from a different tribe.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all bad when it comes down to it. If you ever see any sort of, like, not cishet white dude character, it assume they're mocking it. Like, basically,
it's the 90s. Yeah. Like, it's like, I mean, the Lone Ranger came out when, like,
oh god, yeah,
it was like the 2010s or some shit. Like,
yeah,
it's a coin flip. I really just look at it as, like, this is probably going to be disappointing when I look it up. Like, I'm going to probably be real angry about what they made somebody do.
Right. I was gonna say, and sometimes, you know, it's gonna go either way, and sometimes it's just like, oh god. But this is again why I do this, because I want to know all the things, and I get in the fucking rabbit holes of all these people's lives. And then
I mean, that's also how we improve the media and the art that we make too, right? Is like,
and sure enough, it's better now.
Yeah, we actively stay aware of, like, oh well, we tried this stuff is a terrible idea as a culture, we should not be doing this to people. Like, the only way you learn is by responding to what people have done in the past.
Yeah, and the mainstream stuff now is, like we talked about a little bit before we started recording, it's better. It's not great, but it's better.
You started selling me on it a little bit with some of the indie stuff, especially, where I was like, is there a version of this that's just like gay queer liberation? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you mentioned, is there a queer Undertaker? And I was like, Abaddon, you need Abaddon.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I'm following them now. They're amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You require an Abaddon. There are several, like, God, like three of my favorite indie wrestlers are non-binary or some flavor of trans. I believe that Kid Bandit is still non-binary, but like Kid Bandit did a like hardcore match where they had a barbed wire covered like Buster Sword from like Final Fantasy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like Kid Bandit is a trans wrestler who is like a living anime character, and they are,
that's so fun though. Like,
so good. Brief editor's note, this is Future Garrick. I messed up and I felt like it was important to fix this. Kid Bandit did the hardcore match with it wasn't a Buster Sword, it was a barbed wire wrapped keyblade from Kingdom Hearts, which I think is better, so I had to fix that. Anyways, back to the past with my wonderful talk with Sage.
You know what I just realized? Wrestler is sort of like a xenogender.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Absolutely can be, yeah.
Yeah. Like, looking at a lot of this, I was just like, this is a bunch of people doing gender things in a way that typically you would probably only see in either like trans or non-binary spaces or in like drag.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like, because sometimes drag hits the gender stuff because it's all about like the over like performance of gender, exactly. Right? In the Judith Butler context.
Exactly. And this is the over performance of gender as Vince sees it, in as masculinity and like
fascinating distortion. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really odd lens to see. I don't know what's going on in that dude's brain, because this is like
nothing good.
I'm like, nothing good. Yeah, no, a lot of the stuff is like it's got closet case energy, like a lot of it, and I'm like, I don't know what is going on here, but it's odd,
right? So yeah. I just realized that we're like an hour and a half in and we are not even in.
Oh god, okay.
So I'm gonna try to get
hurry us along back. You can totally right, do it do let's it. Do it
long story short Tatanka loses to Taker, and it's a whatever match, but the whole time they're just watching Diesel take an axe to his coffin.
Okay, yeah, it was split screen.
Yeah, this is everything that's wrong with the Fed. There's good wrestling happening, but we want you to focus on the shitty storytelling that we're going for. And it's great.
But like, why? Why not have that in like?
I know. Continue. Because they suck. Because the answer is because they suck, Sage. And it sucks too because the fans aren't seeing it. They're reacting to the wrestling and they're having a great time. But that was all weird. And like, they finally decide it's been enough. They choke slams and tombstones them. Holy hell! They're gonna show everyone what happened. He's just like walks away. The crowd's silent because this sucks. And Vince is like, oh my god, they don't know what to do about it. They're stunned. I'm like, no, they just hate this. And over the sound of Diesel going all Kylo Ren on Taker's box still. It's all just whatever. But then...
Yeah, no, definite Adam Driver energy going on there. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. But then we get, you'd mentioned, we mentioned it before, they swerved us. Larry Fling live.
What the, what the hell is that?
Billionaires that just, News Network.
It suddenly swerved and I was like, whoever is writing this, because I didn't know it was Vince. I was like, whoever is right, it feels like they're just like dragging all their therapy topics out into, it's really odd. And I was like, I thought they're supposed to be wrestling. Like, what the hell is this?
This has been his pet project for about 3 months now, ever since WCW started to win some of the ratings on Monday nights. Because that's the whole thing, is that that's why it's the Monday Night Wars, is they're going back to back against each other on the same time period, roughly, of wrestling, the two different companies. And they started to win, and he got pissy, and he's like, well, Ted's trying to kill me. And like, he's been at this for 3 months of making these little skits. First, it was first it was his boardroom where they're trying to talk about ways to make their wrestling better. And then they said, okay, well, they got mad at us, so we can't do that anymore. This is the last Ted's wrestling war room. And then the next week, but he's having a press conference. And then there was like 3 weeks of him doing a press conference of his state. And then it's like, okay, this is the last one, we can't do it anymore. And I was like, oh, thank fuck. And now he's on fucking Larry Fling live.
I appreciate the pettiness, because I realized he was going after Ted Turner. And I was like, okay, like, fine. But like, right. I love someone who is like just willing to be, just really commit to the bet. But it did seem egregious.
I hate to say it, it's fucking cringe is what it is. It's kind of
really bad.
It's real cringe, my guy. That being said, this time he made a few good points, because he talks about Nacho Man and Huckster. That's Macho Man and Hulkster, obviously. Mm-hmm. Who used to be his best buddies, but now he makes fun of him. Huckster asked for next Monday off because he got hit with a lady's high heel shoe, a size 7. And they're actually making fun of creative at WCW, because Hogan has been selling a heel to the eye for like a month now. He's still got like the little band-aid over his eye from it. And like that, I was like, this is begrudgingly good shit.
Context was for that. And I was like, why are they talking about women's shoes? Like,
yeah,
I was like, trying to figure out what was going on there.
Yep. My greatest joy in the last couple months has been these bits out of context for people. Because like, what must you think?
I was aware, I was just like, is this a trans joke or something? I'm just like, oh, well, you know, okay, good for Hulk, I guess. If that's what if he likes that side, I don't know what's going on. And they just immediately jump to the next thing.
Yeah, no, he got beat in the head. But yeah, then they go, thankfully, they give you more. They go after Jane Fonda from Hanoi, because it's Ted Turner's wife. I grew up being told that Jane Fonda was evil because of Vietnam, all right? And like, I never could make it make sense. It turns out, because it was bullshit. Mm-hmm. All I know about her, really, is that the first thing I did at Standing Rock was unload hundreds of pounds of donated buffalo meat from her, because she got there the same day that we did, just at a different camp, and they brought it over. Wow. Yeah, and we turned that into, like, stuffing and some wild rice gathered from the
tribe.
That's
so cool. You got to meet her?
I didn't get to meet her, but I unloaded her meat. And that's great. More important to me than meeting
her. Honestly, yes. If someone's like, you can either meet Jane Fonda or you can unload her meat, I would say yes, please.
And turn it into food for a bunch of people.
Whatever mother needs, mother gets. Yeah, exactly.
I threw my back out my first day there unloading her buffalo meat, but it was worth it. So I was like, you know, Jane Fonda's fine by me. Jane Fonda was in the shit with people that I was in the shit with. She's fine by me. So like, fuck you guys. This is bullshit.
She was cool. From everything that I have seen, she was cool. Somebody could DM me if she wasn't, and I somehow don't realize that. But like,
I'm sure she's probably had rough points. She's a white woman. Like,
she's a racist woman.
We have a tendency to do that, you know. Even the greatest white woman is still a white woman. Like, I love you, girl, but also, like, I'm sure
it happens. You've got the little. You don't know what you don't know till you know it, and then you're like, oh, that was a brain worm. Okay, and then you just like, you just keep chugging.
Jane Fonda has been arrested more times than Vince McMahon, and that's saying something. And that's like at protests and shit. So like,
yeah, that's primarily where I'm going with the Jane Fonda is I'm like, well, anyone that has like wasted that much money of the FBI, like, great.
Right. So like, they do all this other bullshit for I wrote down all of it, but I don't even want to talk about it. I do think it's funny that the Larry King stand-in makes a joke that is basically alluding to transmittable diseases at WCW, which is funny because WWE had Cowboy Bob Orton do a match with blood knowing he had hepatitis. Yay!
What?
Oh, yeah, that happened in the 2000s. Allegedly? Oh no, I'm throwing it out there, but they all said it. They don't give a fuck. They just talk about it. They don't think that what they're doing is wrong. They go on shoot interviews and talk these stories like it's funny locker room talking. It's like, that's assault, brother.
Yeah, like, no, that's 100% non-consensual.
Yeah, like, that is not okay.
Okay, so a bunch of wrestling then is like non... Okay, so it has aspects of kink, but without any of the consciousness attached to it.
No, yeah, like, they think they, like, if they were, any of these motherfuckers were self-aware enough to, like, really sit down and look at this stuff, they would realize that they're just doing consensual kink. And the closest we're going to get to is Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley, again, deathmatch wrestler, current world champion at AEW. My cat is named after him because she is also a ginger street fighter that will fucking cut you.
Right.
But I've heard him talk about why he does deathmatch shit, and I'm just like, you're talking about kink. Like, you're talking about impact play. Like, a lot of wrestling is just impact.
That absolutely checks out. I was going to say, like, all it's going to take is, I'm glad to hear somebody has already gotten that bag, because literally all it takes is somebody who's familiar with kink to go into that role, and they'll just clean house, because they know the rules of the game, and everyone else is just being bozos.
I don't think John realizes that that's what he's doing, but he's describing it in his book, and I'm like, this is what you're getting.
You're reinventing the wheel, bud.
Yeah, you're reinventing the wheel, and it's just deathmatch, which is fine. Like, that, I've not always my bag. I have to be in a mood for deathmatch. I'm not against it. I appreciate the fuck out of people who do deathmatch wrestling.
I don't even know what that is.
God,
I can guess just based off of the name.
Like, just imagine wrestling rings where all of the ropes are covered in a single sheet row of light tubes and shit. Like they're fucking killing each other, basically. Like, David Arquette was in a death match once, and Nick fucking Cage took a pizza cutter to his goddamn forehead.
Wait, what? Like, the actors?
Yeah. The actor, David Arquette, has a long history in wrestling. And he one time tried to get
the actor Nick Cage?
No, Nick Gage, who is a
deathmatch. Oh, okay, God.
Nick fucking Gage, who is like, this guy who almost died doing this shit. That's how real it is. This is a guy who served time for assault. Like, he's a real motherfucker. Also, an absolute sweetheart, from my understanding. Like, you know, he's one of those guys. We've all met people who've, like, done prison for, like, hard crimes, but you meet them and they're just, like, the greatest people.
Almost always, like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, dude, people find themselves in a situation that guy needed to get cut. You know, it's like, Nick Cage. I'm not gonna judge. Like, Nick Cage knows when a guy needs to get cut.
Are you kidding me? The carceral system is completely broken. Like, if somebody winds up there, I'm like, I don't, it's not my business.
I just feel for you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that sucks that they had to go through that. It's terrible.
Yeah. Right. But he's a good dude. He's got a gang, Murder, Death, Kill, MDK. And he'll do a tag team where he's this hardcore deathmatch wrestler, and he'll tag team with Maki Ito, which is this like 90-pound Japanese woman who is known as the cutest wrestler in the world.
Good for her.
Yeah, but she will fuck you up with a fucking pizza cutter because she's fucking rolling with Nick Cage.
Beautiful. I love it.
I love professional wrestling so much. So like we got
may have sold
Raw.
Me on this as an entire genre. Yeah.
As an entire medium. Yeah. Right. So, like, now we'll talk Nitro, which is overall, in my opinion, almost always better than Raw. It certainly was this week. We've talked about that Raw for an hour and a half just because of how awful it was. It was a train wreck. On the other channel, if we click over, we are live from Salisbury, Maryland, home of my third favorite steak. Pepe the Dog gets name dropped before Bobby Heenan this week, and that was not okay, but it's okay. obligatory Pepe talk. There's a little Chihuahua dog. I don't know if you noticed. There's a little Chihuahua dog.
Oh, cute. It was adorable. It was just tiny.
For everyone else, editing happened. Nothing happened. We didn't go away. It hasn't Mm-mm. been 20 minutes. No.
No, not at all.
So yes, we are back to Nitro. They're live. Pepe is there. Everything is good. So last week, Arn got the pin on Hulk Hogan, which does not happen. It's in his contract that he does not lose. Well, it's in his contract that he has creative control, basically, which he's the only wrestler to like ever fucking have that. So it's wild.
They give that to him on accident, not realizing what.
No,
going on
no,
there? Like, how did he get that?
He got that by being Hulk Hogan and by wanting to spite Vince by taking his guy. So they were going to give Hulk whatever he wanted, and they did, and they will eventually pay for it. There's a reason WCW isn't around anymore.
Oh, good.
Yeah, again, spoilers. Vince wins this war. but yeah, Hulk does, it pleases me to no end that he like loses and gets pinned. And the first thing that happens on WCW TV after that is Hulk getting his pin back, or trying to at least. It's a rematch, like right off the bat.
Beautiful.
Wild. And they get right to it. It gets like, it's right away, 3.5 minutes in, he's ripping his shirt. We're not fucking around. And it's a whatever match. It is what it is. It's a very much a replay of the last time, but with slightly less interference. Eventually Arn lays down and Hogan kind of humps the ground while choking him and biting his face / whispering sweet spots into his ears.
Oddly intimate for wrestling. Like, I've seen Olympic wrestling. I've seen, like, you know, competitive.
Like collegiate wrestling.
Collegiate. Yeah, that's the term. Okay, cool. Yeah, I've seen collegiate wrestling, and it doesn't involve that much dry grinding.
Yeah.
I saw the knee. Like, a couple of times, they did the knee. You know what I mean?
Again, government, take note. None of this is gay. None of it's gay. but it's all so gay. This is, like, wrestling is so gay. I love it. And Hogan's getting booed, which is wild. He's supposed to be loved, but he just keeps getting booed. And that's a wonderful, everyone's sick of his shit, and I love it. He finds like the one little patch of front row crowd that has Hulk fans, and he like does a little crowd work like a comic that's bombing. Like, Hulkamaniac, save me, I'm dying out here. They fucking hate
me. Beautiful.
Right. So the real savior for me though is Arn. His commitment to theatrics makes this whole match edible to me. Because like Hulk's giving us nothing. He just doesn't care. He's doing the motions, but like
Arn's he's phoning it in.
Yeah, he's phoning it in. Arn's selling like he's playing Carnegie Hall. and I love this for him. He's great. He goes for his patented like made you look DDT, where he like just looks like he's gonna punch you and you duck and he grabs your head to shove you to the ground. But
that was such a good move.
Right, but Hogan slips out of it, and that's his Hulk up moment. He goes for Hulk has a thing where like you'll flip the switch and he Hulks up, he points his finger at you like don't you dare, and then he's gonna punch you three times, he's gonna put his boot in your face, and then he's gonna drop the leg on you, and that's it. Like it happened. He has a sequence. It's like it's crazy. But he's been switching it up. He goes for the figure four instead because that's Ric Flair's finisher and Arn's his best friend. It's an ugly as sin. He does it wrong. He doesn't even do it right, and I hate it. It's silly. So Kevin Sullivan comes out to try to interfere, this other guy. Randall Savage, our biggest boy, comes out. That's like Hulk Hogan's best friend and like saves him, but he's kind of losing his mind a little bit. So he craves violence, yeah, and he goes after Arn too and gets the DQ. So no pin back for Hogan. I imagine he is dying inside because of this, and it pleases me. I'm pretty sure he never gets that pin back, and that's amazing. I hope that he like hates that until he dies, because the Hogan's the type of person that will bother him until he dies. That Arn Anderson pinned him on TV once and he never got it back.
Yeah, he just has to live with that humiliation.
Yep, and there's nothing worse for a Hulk Hogan. Before commercial, we see a young blonde Euro twink with a large bear of a man behind him as our next match. I've seen this video. We come back and it's Das Wunderkind. Alex Wright, he's like a third generation, like German wrestling Wunderkind. And there's like some wonderful 90s technical difficulty shit, and I love it. But they're talking about the guy, Giant Haystacks, Loch Ness. This guy should not be wrestling. He's an old school dude who should not be here. He comes out to like free, yeah, like I don't know what else to say about it. He shouldn't be here, and he's not here for long. He comes out to like some free use silent film era orchestration, which is cool because they must have lost the license to the song that it was originally.
Oh no.
I love that shit. Eventually Wunderkind like climbs on top of this ginormous dude and tries to put a sleeper on him because it's like all he can do. But he gets thrown off and gets bear hugged, and it's the same as the last time that this guy showed up, Loch Ness. The little guy tried to do things, it don't work, and then big guy squash him, and that's it. And
it just crushes the twink, yeah.
It just crushed that twink. I want that twink dead, and he does it.
Just does it all by himself.
Yeah, so really, it fits with the promo package they gave us of this little blonde Euro twink and this large bear of a man. Like there you again, I've seen this video, it was on the Hubs. It's fantastic.
Yeah, what did you think was going to happen?
What did you think was going to happen? He looks into the camera and calls out Hogan, because that's the only reason this guy's here, because we need to feed large men to Hulk Hogan so he can feel like a large man.
So he can survive. That's the only way he can feed. Is you have yes. to feed him large men.
Large men that he can try to slam and get adulation for, and then he eats that like Colin Robinson, like a fucking emotional vampire. Yes, that's how you feed your Hulk Hogan. It's terrifying.
It's like a Mogwai, but so much worse.
It is so much worse. You know what's not worse, though? One of my favorite wrestlers of all time debuting here. And the guy who looks like a Mad Max character, the Belfast Bruiser. It's Fit fucking Finley, folks. I love this guy so much. He goes on to do all kinds of stuff, but this is very early Fit Finley, and holy shit, I'm jazzed. And he's fighting this guy, Brad Armstrong, which I wrote jobber, but really he's part of like a second generation huge family of wrestlers, and like I looked into it and I was like, this is terrifying. I don't recognize him, but apparently I will be nicer than calling him a jobber. He was a second generation worker. His brother is the Road Dog, Jesse James, who we will see later in our adventure. Not you, but a couple years from now, like a year from now, he shows up in the other company. So it's like, he's not just a job.
It's a tale of two brothers.
Oh, yeah. He's got like four of them. One of them ends up becoming a ref, actually. So like, I looked into it and I was like, all right, I can't just call him Jobber. It's Brad Armstrong. But the point being, Fit Finley. They tell us about the Cruiserweight tournament, though, which is coming, which is awesome. They've been hinting at it forever, and they're going to finally do it, that we're going to get like this faster paced, not huge boy wrestling, which they've been giving us more of, like Lucha and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're finally giving us like a proper title for it. So that's really cool. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know much about Brad Armstrong, like I said, but Fit's so great. But this, because it's a battle between the two mullets of all time, basically.
I love a good mullet fight.
And I've seen some wild shit as a pro wrestling fan. There's been some mullets, but Fit Finley's mullet here is just, it's something else. I can only describe it like if a hedgehog drank natty ice. is what his mullet looks like to me. And
it's again them accidentally appropriating queer culture. Like, it's such a beautiful mullet.
They didn't realize what they were doing. I was like, dude, you understand? You got T-boy swag here.
Phil. Yeah, no, it's absolutely. I'm just like, this does not belong in a cis person. This is like, I am positive the person backstage was trans, whoever did their hair, because it's just like, it's on point. I'm like, this is transcendent.
It's like, he's like 90s Irish punk kid, mm-hmm. I think is what he's going for too. And it's like, well, yeah, we took that. That's
God, ours. They're going for like a Billy Idol look.
Yeah, and instead it's like, no. Who knows? But I guess him and Regal are on a path to each other already, which I'm jazzed about. Those two are unreal together. They have him and this other guy who didn't show up this time, but they end up doing a fairly early version of like a parking lot brawl type match where basically the promoter buys a car and says, kill each other with it. and they do that on TV. So that's going to
be. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they're like good friends. So they like, yeah, they work together lovely. They also have another story Regal told about how they wanted to get color. They wanted to get blood on TV, which they're not supposed to do. There's two ways that you get blood in wrestling. You either, blade, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Okay. So it's the thing that Trump did with the,
With the ear. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. That when people are like, wait, did he blade to get juice for this moment? Yeah. So like there's, you know, blading yourself to do it, or you get it the hard way, which is exactly what it sounds like, which is you let your opponent basically hit you right on the spot on your eyebrow that if you hit hard enough, it cracks open, like it splits open and you get blood that way. So like Regal was like, we're not allowed to blade because it's butchery and the TV guys will get mad. But Regal's like, we want this to really sell this so you can do it the hard way. And like poor Finley just keeps missing, but just keeps walloping him because he's hitting him as hard as he's like, these are not pulled shots. It's the only way to do it. But he keeps missing. God. So he just can't crack him open and he finally gets him. So I'm pretty sure that happened on Nitro. I'm looking forward to that episode. We'll get to it. But like, I heard that story and I was just like, holy shit. Poor Regal's just like, is it happening yet? Please. Like, can we just please?
Like, at that point, the blading was more humane.
Yeah, exactly. But they wouldn't have gotten away with it. They would have gotten fined. So like, yeah, this match was basically awesome. Fit catches him at one point with a tilt-a-whirl slam for the three and like yells into the camera and looks like the dude I used to have to cut off in the Wisconsin bar that would like... He pissed that we didn't have Michelob. Like, this is exactly the fucking vibe he gave me.
Dear God.
And I hate it because I was like, I love you. I love you as a wrestler, and you're going to not be like this later. But right now, you're giving me like flashbacks, and I don't like it, Finn. Goddamn. But yeah, it was a pretty solid match. We come back from commercial. And Ric Flair is strutting out with Elizabeth and woman on his side and the belt on his waist, tucked lovingly away in a fantastic purple robe, I gotta say. Like, fuck this guy forever, but damn, what a look.
It's a great look.
He knew what he was doing. Like, and he keeps doing it, too. Like, he had a pink one with, like, purple flowers for a couple weeks there, and I was like, I actually need that just as my robe, if we could. That would be fantastic. And then out comes Florida Man, Randy Savage, fully clothed this time. He's calming down a little. He's been losing it a little bit. Bobby takes note because he's going to see his ex. Miss Elizabeth is Randy Savage's ex-wife. And she recently turned on him and went with Rick. So like, yeah, right. It was so terrible. It's awful. And like now, 1996 Macho Man, he's doing this thing where he's just slowly unraveling and getting.
Yeah, no, he's the punished. He's the punished Macho Man.
He's punished Randall Savage. Yes, he is absolutely a Florida Man, our biggest boy. So it's wild. So we have a toxic man driving a woman away to a more toxic man, and we're supposed to feel bad for him, but I just want Elizabeth and woman to run away and live like together happily ever after in like sapphic harmony. I think
that's not at all. I think she should just do that.
I think they should do that. Fuck these guys. They all suck.
Randy, when in doubt, ditch the man.
When in doubt, ditch the men. They're busy taking turns bouncing off the ropes menacingly at each other anyways.
They're not paying attention to the women anyway. Like, this isn't about... It's very clear they're not interested in women. Like, this is not a... Their fixation here is very much...
Oily, tan bodies.
Yeah, I mean, even in the way that they interact with each other, right? It's very much a... Like, they want the gratification and the admiration of the other man. Like, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a hyper straight way of even handling relationships, too. Like,
yeah.
But it's just, it's very much like it's such an odd dynamic to watch. Yeah, continue. Sorry.
No, absolutely. You're nailing it, Sage. Because, like, that's all that this is going on. It's toxic masculinity playing out in a literal play in front of us. Like, because at this point, these two women are, like, this woman specifically is just, like, it's a pawn. Like, Rick doesn't love her. He just loves that he has her and Randy doesn't. And, like, if that's the whole, and it's all of this is in relationship to what he can get out of this other man and the attention he can get from this other man.
It's a power play against another, like, the all of it, like, it is all just erotic. I mean, they're straight, fine.
Sure. Allegedly.
Allegedly straight. Yeah, we don't want to besmirch them. We don't want to libel them.
Allegedly, yeah.
But like, the stuff that they're doing to each other mentally, even, I'm just watching this going like, this feels like sex. I don't know how this isn't sex, but okay. Like,
yeah, and they really get cooking too, as far as the match. Like, Rick woos in like, Rick woos in dominance and Randy spits in his face. And again, I'm like, this is just kink. Like, that Randy's a brat. Randy is bratting right now is what he is doing.
Like, I was watching that being like, oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is, how did this not, how they put this on network TV or cable? Like, yeah. How was this? This was just aired.
This was TNT. Yes. Yeah. Turner television even. So yeah, they just did that. It's like, again, like, what the fuck? I have to go to like a club with no windows and you just do that on Adelaide? Fuck you guys. Yeah. So they
you
just
do it in a nice, well-lit ring.
Yeah, with an audience. That's great.
That's so fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's so fun for you. So like, this match in the meantime, though, it's a cookie cutter match, like a whatever playing the hits match, but with the fast forward button held down. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really cooking. They're just going. I'm like, this is weird. Like, for these guys usually go slow. But there's not much to say to it. It is. I've watched these guys fight like 6-7 times now, something like that. Oh, pardon me. Oh,
you are pardoned.
Do not get hiccups, Garrick. I swear to you. Anyways, yes. So yeah, I've seen like it's just the same match over and over, and they just change the pace in a weird way. It's fun. Rick at one point gets back in the ring to break a count so that Macho can like wander aimlessly for a bit. And he runs into Elizabeth and like, oh shit, and the distraction gets him fucked up. It's that kind of stuff. They're just really trying to tell the story of him. Like,
it's the melodrama. Like, it's the camp.
You're at work and you're running into your ex and it's awkward. And, you know, like, it's basically it. It's just his work
just
is getting
such
elbowed
a weird thing to inherently show on television, though, too. Like, yeah, I'm just watching this being like, this is, what the hell am I watching? Like, it reminded me of the really good camper kitsch of like a really good soap or like a telenovela, you know, like just the heightened reality of it was really, it was a fun watch.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. And they keep at this for a while. Wow. Lots goes on. And like, this match was like, wow, they're cooking, but it's still long. It feels like it had an intermission at one point where like everyone was getting kind of bored and Rick was like, I'm going to put a figure four on you to get the people riled up. And it worked. but like, oh, yeah, right. It's like they know what they're doing. Suddenly, yeah. Though, a heel comes flying, not a bad guy, though, an actual heel comes flying in. Macho intercepts it, which was pretty. And uses it on Flair. It was supposed to go to Flair, obviously, because he's the bad guy here. Even using that, it's only good for a 2-pin count. But then Kevin Sullivan comes out to distract the ref long enough for Arn to come out and finally hit that DDT, but on Ron Randy instead. Flair rolls over, gets the 3, and I'm like, okay, that. Like, that's how this was always going to go. Yeah. It just, they took like a while to get there.
They were just having fun along the way.
Yeah, right? They just want to have a good time. And now all the horsemen, Rick's guys, and all the gooners, the Dungeon of Doom guys come out to fuck up Randy. And Hogan comes out to try to save his ass, but, like, doesn't work. And then it's like, wait, what the fuck is this guy? Who's this dude that looks like an 80s throwback? And sure enough, it's former Texas Senator Ted Cruz, the Zodiac, Ed Leslie.
No, is it? Wait.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I was what?
Previous to, his name is Ed Leslie, and up until this happened, he was playing a character called Zodiac, so I always call him Ted Cruz.
Okay, I was like, that looks nothing. Wow, he has had some really good, bad work done.
This is the first time that reoccurring bit that I'd used to make myself giggle has actually caught someone. That's great.
Yeah, no, I was so confused. I was just like, I don't know what, I mean, half of the people that were on this are now in the upcoming administration, so I don't know.
Yeah, so you never know. Yeah, it could be. This guy also used to be called Brutus Beefcake. He's basically like Hulk Hogan's IRL best friend. And he's decided he's no longer a bad guy named Zodiac, and he's coming out to save Hogan. Last week I asked for it, and they listened, and here it comes, because the horsemen just take over the commentary booth. This is not something that usually happens, but they've been doing it lately, and it's kind of great. Because like Flair just breathlessly gibberishes into a microphone. And then Hogan comes and he yells gibberish. And in that gibberish, he says the words booty man. And I take a deep breath, because that is what they're calling Ed Leslie now. Macho Man says he will knock Eric out and takes the mic from him. And Hogan says that the big booty man, brother, he can kick your can. He can, brother. They're introducing the new gimmick for his friend, and they're literally just calling him the booty man. So he clarifies that him and Hogan and Randy and this booty man are going to fight Flair and Anderson and whoever next week. Booty, 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 booty man. They just keep saying it.
that had the same connotation then, right?
I think so. I think they're saying that he likes girls' butts, is what they're trying to get at. But they keep doing this stuff assuming that we're just going to assume all of it in a heterosexual light, but like out of context, it's like all of this is real gay, guys.
Yeah, they're just it's a bunch of dudes who are all sweaty and in leotards ranting about ass. I don't know what, like, yeah. What else am I supposed to take from this?
I don't know. The whole time, the booty man himself is just dancing around weird, making faces. This is all
beautiful. So beautiful.
Fucking weird. And that was like the main event. They leave, and Bischoff says booty man as well. He gets it in there. And Jesus Christ, that was the end of the show. It was a very quick, like a cooker of a nitro, which I think is funny that we spent so much time dissecting the big juicy bag of Raw, and Nitro was just like, this was just wrestling. Like, Nitro was just like good old fashioned campy, weird, gay as hell, like pro wrestling. And
like they hit the Nitro, you know, like they just really,
they really just did.
It was like pedal to the metal. There wasn't, I think part of it is even when that fight was going like kind of long with it, I was like kind of into the fact that it was still entertaining that I was watching them do this repetition and iteration of the styles that they were doing.
Yeah.
And that was like genuinely, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like I think he did that already. Like, that's interesting. Okay, fine.
That's just it. If you let yourself get pulled into it.
It was just really cool. Like, it was, I just never, like I said, I've never really watched wrestling before this.
And I gotta say, those two are really good at it. Like, I said it's cookie cutter, but that doesn't mean it's bad. They played the hits, but those two are like two of the greatest to ever do it for a reason.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah. It's like if you see a band that plays like the most standard blues rock you can think of, like, who cares? It's still good blues. You're playing a bunch of standards. I don't care. Like,
oh, Sage, you get it. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely.
You absolutely get, like, I love that you were a novice coming into this, and you seem to absolutely understand why this shit is so cool and why some of us could like really get drawn into it. Because it's
I can totally see the appeal of it. It's like, it's definitely like not my arena of camp necessarily, but like walking into it, I was like, oh shit, no, I see the patterns that are going on here. This is fun. Okay, yeah. Oh, I could vibe with this. Let's go.
Fuck yeah. So that's it. That's our show as well, because we got through it. You hung out for two whole problematic wrestlings.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this.
This was super fun.
Do you have a favorite match of the week? We usually ask if everyone has a favorite match. I kind of don't know if I have one, to be honest. Like, they were all okay. For the ones that weren't okay sucked. I think my favorite match was Vader eating Aldo Montoya and Barry Horowitz. That was my favorite match. It wasn't even a match.
Yeah, I think my favorite match of the week was probably Luigi Mangione versus Brian Thompson. That was just a real knockout.
Just a banger. Five-star classic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meltzer said it could be the match of the century.
Absolutely. I really hope I pronounced Luigi's name right. Sorry, Luigi.
And we also usually say who won this week between Raw and Nitro. But honestly, I think who won this week? All of us.
Yeah. The working class. Yeah.
The working class won this week. That's awesome. Well, fuck yeah. Sage, is there anything you want people to know about, projects you have, ways to find you if you'd like to be found?
Yeah.
Now is the time where you would say those things into the microphone.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am on Blue Sky at trans.bluesky.social. And then
every take just, I'm sorry, one quick second. I know you got a hard out coming soon.
Yeah.
Can we just take a second to say you are in fact the trans.bluesky? Yeah. you got it.
I panicked when that went through. That was the first thing I typed in.
So like I can say, folks, I literally have trans. We got the whole concept on the show this week.
And then once I grabbed it, I was like, oh, okay, well, I need to hold on to this, because otherwise like a TERF is going to grab it, or annoying, like more annoying than me. And I know, you know, like it's like a thing of like, okay, well, I know I'm not going to run it into the ground. So like, okay, I'm going to keep it. But like,
I just want to say, girl, thank you for jumping on that grenade. Like you did.
Yeah,
that
I was like, us. That's okay, cool. Let's roll. Let's see what happens. Also, you can find a lot of my art and also like merch designs at transgender.gay. That's my little merch store. So yeah.
It's good stuff, UFO.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really fun to make. So great. Yeah. Those are my two main plugs right there for you.
Thank you so much. And people, please go give Sage money. They deserve it. I guess you can give us money too. If you wanted to do that, thank you, listeners. You can find us at Blue Sky, because we're basically just a Blue Sky podcast at this point. I don't even care. At mnffpod.bsky.social. Instagram, occasionally, at mnffpod. And if you want to join us on the Patreon, where we do watch parties of the pay-per-views and occasional other stuff that still kind of may or may not be working on doing Best in Show, because we had Westminster Dog Show last week. There was no Raw. They had the Westminster Dog Show instead, and I was like, well, fuck, we should watch Best in Show. That makes sense. You can join
us
for
theater
that
as well. Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. It's improv too. It's all the same thing. So patreon.com/mnffpod. Thank you all so much. This was a fun one. Otherwise, we will see you guys next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Bye.